Now it's time for the reading and preaching of God's holy word. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. We're reading this morning Ezra chapter 7 verses 1 through 28. Ezra 7 verses 1 through 28. Before we hear the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of His Word, let's pray to our Lord. Father, we come to You this day praising You for giving us Your Word. I thank You that it is Your Word which glorifies You and which spurs us on to glorify You. And Father, we ask that even now these words that You have spoken to us are speaking to us, as they are living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, that You would speak it to us and open our ears, that we would hear and eyes, that we would see the truth and the calling to which we have been called. And Father, we need Your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds. And so work Your Spirit in us. And let us not rebel against Him or try to quench Him, but receive His leanings with great joy. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezra chapter 7, we're reading verse 1. These are the words of God. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, there went up Ezra, son of Seraiah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shallum, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Merioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzi, son of Buki, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For on the first of the first month he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the 5th month he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now this is the copy of the decree which King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. And now I have issued a decree that any of the people of Israel and their priests and the Levites in my kingdom who are willing to go to Jerusalem may go with you. For as much as you are sent by the king and his 7 counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God which is in your hand, and to bring the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold which you find in the whole province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests who offered willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem. With this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God which is in Jerusalem. Whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. Also the utensils which are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. The rest of the needs for the house of your God, for which you may have occasion to provide for it from the royal treasury. Even I, King Artaxerxes, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the province beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, it shall be done diligently, even up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil and salt as needed. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven, so that there will not be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. We also inform you that it is not allowed to impose tax, tribute, or toll on any of the priests, Levites, singers, doorkeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges that they may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God, and you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him strictly, whether for death or for punishment or for confiscation of goods or for imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and has extended loving kindness to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. Thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Those are the words of the Lord to us. So now, as we come to chapter 7, we've now jumped 57 years into the future from chapter 6. The temple was completed back in chapter 6. Remember, in 516 B.C., the Passover was celebrated the next month, which was the next year, 515 B.C. And now it says verses 7 and 8 in chapter 7 that Ezra came to Jerusalem with many others in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And that would be 458 B.C. And so in that 57 years, King Darius reigned in Persia until 486 B.C. Then Xerxes the First reigned, that being the king in the time and referred to in the book of Esther. Xerxes the First. And he reigned until 465 B.C. And then Artaxerxes, his son, reigned, who is referred to here. Again, it's now 458 B.C., we finally see Ezra. He has not appeared before this time. And yet here he is. He's been in Babylon this whole time since we started Ezra in chapter 1. He did not go up, or his father didn't go up with the rest of the Jews when Cyrus called for them to go up to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple in chapter 1. And yet Ezra, it says, was a direct descendant of Aaron the high priest back in Exodus, that Aaron the high priest. The passage before us shows us once again that the Lord provides for us his people at the right time. And so the first point this morning is that Yahweh provides his grace. Yahweh provides his grace. Verse 1 says, now after these things. Now there's a lot that's gone on after these things for 57 years. We know a little history from Esther, but also from chapter 4 of Ezra. In chapter 4, remember, it looked ahead in the future of the persecution and oppression that happened. And chapter 4, verse 6, it says, now in the reign of Ahasuerus, that's Xerxes, that's the king that Esther married, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Esther also, the book of Esther reveals there were other attacks against the Jews as well. And so we come into the context of continual persecution and oppression that's been going on. It hasn't gone away, and yet the temple has been completed. Now, the people of Judah are worshiping Yahweh. But then comes the time the Lord decreed for Ezra to use Ezra for his kingdom in a greater way. And so it says, there went up Ezra to Jerusalem. Where did he go up? He went to Jerusalem. Why did he go up? Because the Lord provided his grace to Ezra. A couple of times you see in the chapter language to this effect. that the grace of God was upon his hand, was upon Ezra. We see the decree of King Artaxerxes in verses 11 through 26, which called upon Ezra to go. And we don't know why he was called to go, except that the Lord in his providence used the king to make him go. And yet we also see in the summary of what happened out of that. So 11, we have 11 through 26, the King Artaxerxes' decree. But before that, in the beginning of the chapter, we see a summary of what happened, of how he went up to Jerusalem. And it's a summary that shows the grace of God upon his people. We don't know why, again, Ezra is still in Babylon. We aren't given that information. But verse 6, we know that he was a scribe. He was skilled in the law of Moses. He knew the law well. We even see verse 11. It says that he's a scribe, learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. And so this whole time he's been living in Babylon. In all his life, he still had the word of God. That is an act of grace by God. In a culture, in a place where there is no worship of Yahweh, there is still the word of God. And he was still able to study that word day and night, so much so that it says here that he was a scribe. Not just an ordinary one, but he was skilled, it says, in the law of Moses. He was an expert in the law of God, and that the Yahweh had given to his people. And then you see middle of verse 6, and the king granted him all he requested, all Ezra requested, because the Lord, his God, was upon him. The hand of God was upon him. What a statement. Here's this king. He doesn't owe anything to Ezra. Ezra is just a common person in Babylon. Being a scribe, a priest, that doesn't mean much in Babylon. And yet the king granted him all that he requested of him. That is that Artaxerxes placed himself, in some sense, as a servant of Ezra. Whatever you request, that I will do. That's a servant's spot. That's a servant's role. What did Ezra do to receive this kindness from the king? He did nothing. Did he deserve this kindness? No. But the king granted him, not some, but all he requested. And we see the reason why. Very simply, it says in our passage, because the hand of the Lord his God, Ezra's God, was upon him. That's the same outlook that we should have, a focus that we should have. Beloved, if we were to have something, if we need something, not want something, but if in God's providence we truly need something, Yahweh will move mountains so we can have it. He's moving here, a pagan king. Ezra doesn't deserve anything good. He has not served the king, as far as we know, in any way. But the Lord will move mountains so we can have it. He'll move kings and rulers and all in authority, whether they are his people or whether they're pagans, people of the world. The Lord will move them to give you exactly what you need. He provides for us whatever we truly need. Again, as we've said in the past couple of weeks, not what we think we need, but what we truly need. And even those who would believe would never do something like this. The same thing we came up against in evangelism. That we come up against in evangelism. The people around us, this building, are predominantly, at least as far as my knowledge, they're Roman Catholic. They don't have salvation. They're far from Christ. And yet deceived into thinking they are near to him because of what they do. Or they think that because they were baptized in the church, probably nominal Roman Catholics around here too, because they were baptized, therefore they're okay. And yet to go evangelize, to go door to door to meet with these same people, our quick thought is, well, this is a waste of time. They aren't going to change their minds. They're not going to come worship with us, even if we did invite them to come. They are set in their ways. That goes through your minds. Even as you've perhaps reached out to your neighbors and talked to them, and that similar thought came into your mind in talking to them. They won't change. They won't believe. And yet before you today, in this very room, are people just like that. People who were once set in their ways. People who other people thought they would never change. People who were Christians thought that they would never change. And one of them even a Roman Catholic, a couple of them a Roman Catholic, who were once Roman Catholic. And then what happened? The grace of Yahweh came and saved them out of their set ways and provided exactly what was needed for their souls. And by the Lord's grace, He provides. And so in your evangelism, do not say, don't think in your mind, this is a waste of time. Even though most of the time, maybe it be, most of the time, they won't respond favorably towards you. That might be. You go and speak to 100 people of your neighbors around you, most of them probably are not going to change. But we don't rely on what we think. We rely on the grace of God because He's the one who saves people. And He does it through the means of us, His instruments, as we're sent out. Verse 7, some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. So Ezra came, but some others, all the sons of Israel also came to Jerusalem. They had been forsaking the worship of Yahweh, in some sense at least, because they had not gone up to Jerusalem year after year as they were called to do on the Day of Atonement. They had been at least forsaking that. Yahweh, by His grace, gives them worship. He enables them to worship. In 4 months it took them to get from Babylon to Jerusalem. Verse 9, for in the first month, the first of the first month, they began to go from Babylon. In the first of the 5th month, he came to Jerusalem because the good hand of his God was upon him. When we travel, as they did here, this is why we ought to pray before we go on our travels, or as we travel, we pray to the Lord that He would be with us. He would shower us with His grace. How did they get from Babylon to Jerusalem? Because the good hand of His God was upon him. God was with them. So because we know that wherever we go, God is with us, we should be praying that God would continue to supply our need, be with us and protect us and shower us with His grace. Again, what we've learned in other places, we are to pray the Word of God. We are to pray what we know God will do. And pray in confidence that He will do so. We should pray for our travels because we need the grace of God. We need the hand of God to be upon us. You think that in your own strength you can drive or even walk out of here and survive. You can't on your own power. God is upholding you and sustaining you in every step that you take. He's given you grace through your eyes. He's given you eyes. He's given you muscles and bones, organs that make in blood the flow, the heart that pumps the blood. He's given all that, and He's sustaining you. If He takes any of those things away, you can't walk. You can't move. And so we have to pray that God would be with us wherever we go. Now, how did Ezra know the Lord? He knew the Lord by the Lord's grace through His Word. Verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. He studied God's Word. He read it and thought about it. He meditated upon it. It wasn't once a week that he was doing this on the Lord's Day or on the Sabbath for them. He was an expert in the law. Beloved, any of us, all of you can be an expert in God's Word. How does that come? How can I, you ask the question, how can I be an expert in God's Word? Yahweh shows you right here how to be an expert in God's Word and His law. The first step is to set your heart to study God's Word. Desire God's Word more than the things of the world. Babylon, for Ezra, would have provided for him desires to study astrology, magic, and take part in things of great sins. And materialism, and remember, you'd be living in a place which the Persians have overtaken Babylon. There was great riches there. There's great riches flowing everywhere. And so materialism, he could have spent his time in that. But he despised those things, it shows here, and desired to follow God. And so with desiring, he actually studied. He didn't just desire it and say, well, I really desire to do that, and then did nothing. He actually studied. the Word of God. He did it. He read it. He was in the Word constantly. But that's not all. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it. He desired to live it out, to believe what it said and live it out practically in his life. And speaking specifically of the first five books of the law of God and the Old Testament, he lived it out. The Ten Commandments was central to his life, as it should be to ours. He obeyed the Lord in all things. That was his goal. He practiced the Word. And here's Yahweh bringing Ezra to a place where he can obey him fully, because he's not been able to do that. And Yahweh will always do that. If you're in a situation where you see that you're unable to obey Yahweh, the Lord, He will provide a way to obey Him. So there are not ever times when it is okay to disobey God, because God always provides a way to obey. Just as He does with Ezra here, bringing him to Jerusalem. Just like verse 13, and all who are willing to go. And so this language is actually very similar to chapter 1 in Cyrus' decree. All who are willing to go up to Jerusalem may go. And it's almost like a second opportunity for those who were disobedient at first. All who are willing to go may go. And so he provides a way for Ezra to obey, for Ezra to practice God's word. And studying and practicing God's word leads to what? It leads to teaching the word of God. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. God using human instruments to bring his word to bear upon his people, his elect. Yahweh providing his grace, the means of grace, the word, his word to Israel. And so that leads us to the second point this morning. That is, Yahweh provides his worship. Yahweh provides his worship. Verse 12, very interesting. At the beginning of Artaxerxes' decree, is the very first words. He announces himself. And then it says to this decree, or about Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Perfect peace. And you're asking, or you should ask, who is the king of all kings? Artaxerxes just said he's the king of kings. But we know it's not Artaxerxes. That's his self-designated title. This is Artaxerxes who wrote this down, or he probably had a scribe who wrote exactly what he said to be written down. And he said of himself, he is the king of kings. And sure, he's king of some other kings. There are kings under him. We saw that with Darius last week, that he had people on Tathenai and Shetharboznai under him. Those were kings or governors. Here Artaxerxes would be in the same position. But there's only one who is king of all kings, king over all kings, and that it's not king Artaxerxes. There's a king who's over Artaxerxes, and that is being shown in the passage. It's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's ironic here. Now, Artaxerxes, how he calls himself the King of Kings, and here is Yahweh in his sovereignty and his providence working all things together for the worship of his name. All things together for the worship of Yahweh, who is King of all kings. Verse 14, for as much as you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God which is in your hand. It says he's supposed to be inquiring. What's he inquiring about? What's Ezra when he goes to Jerusalem and Judah? What is he supposed to be inquiring about? Whether the answer is whether God's people are following God's law. Verse 23, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven. So that there will not be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. Artaxerxes is saying that. Yahweh in his sovereign will is using a pagan ruler to get his people of Judah, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, to obey Yahweh's commands and to obey his commands concerning worship. Why? Because he loves his people. That there will not be wrath. And yet, this is a selfish plea for Artaxerxes. And yet, behind it, it's not selfish that there won't be wrath towards God's people. And yet, here, the selfish Artaxerxes is doing, he doesn't want wrath to come upon his kingdom and upon himself and his sons, because he knows history. He's a learned man, too. He knows history that when God's people are not obeying him, there's exile. And then the nation that was used to bring exile is judged, because Persia was used to judge Babylon. And Persia, as we, I think I talked to Dave earlier, a couple weeks ago, that Persia was used to defeat Assyria as well when they took Israel into exile. And so Ezra, you go there. And you make sure they're obeying God's laws. They're obeying the Holy Scriptures. And they worship according to how God commands them to worship, lest his wrath comes against my kingdom. So Ezra, you go, you inquire, you figure out if they're obeying God or not. If they are not obeying God, make sure they obey God. He's giving Ezra authority. Make them worship your God, Yahweh. And Yahweh provides above and beyond what his people for his people to worship him. We see that in these verses, verse 15. And to bring the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold which you find in the whole province of Babylon. You see here that the king is serving the God of Israel. He's freely offering to the God of Israel. And it continues along with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests who offered willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, with this money. Therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls and rams and lambs with their grain offerings, their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Verse 19. Also, the utensils which are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. The rest of the needs for the house of your God, for which you may have occasion to provide, provided for it from the royal treasury. Even I, King Artaxerxes, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the provinces beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, it shall be done diligently, even up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil and salt, as needed. Look at all the things that the Lord is providing for his worship. Now remember the utensils that were taken away in the exile, in the Babylonian exile in the early 500s BC, they were already returned. They returned in the very Ezra chapter 1. They were returned then. And so what Artaxerxes is offering is above and beyond what is needed. It's not even needed. This is above and beyond what is needed. Yahweh providing much more gloriously than what the people of God would have ever asked for or thought of. And right in the middle of 18, of all this, verse 18, Artaxerxes speaks to Ezra. He says, whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. So here's all the silver and gold we're giving to you. Use it for sacrifice. Use it for the worship of God. And yet there's going to be even more on top of that. Use it according to the will of your God. That is, whatever seems good to you in accordance with the will of God, in accordance with the word of God. Ezra, that's what you are to do. And so you and all of God's people may worship Yahweh. Yahweh, through Darius, provided richly for God's people. And now Yahweh, through Artaxerxes, provides richly for God's people, so they can worship the Lord. And it isn't only the utensils, but the provisions for the sacrifices. Beloved, our God richly provides for us, his people, and our worship. He's given us a building to worship in that we don't need. This is above and beyond what we need. What we need is to gather together and not forsake the assembling together of each other before God. That's all we need. And we need the Holy Spirit. And we need God's Word. We don't need a building. We could meet outside if we wanted to. but he has given it to us so that we can worship free of the weather and elements, and we can have a central place where we can come and worship together. He's provided the means to even keep it and sustain it thus far. And of all the sacrificial system, what he has given is far better than they have. It wasn't a building. But what the system and ceremonial law pointed to, Yahweh has given us his son. And so we're learning here, we're seeing that he's providing for the sacrificial system and a temple. And well, God has now given us his son. He's abrogated that old law. He's given us Jesus Christ, and he was the final sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice on the cross, who died for our sins and rose to secure our justification, ascended. He sent upon his people. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon us. And in the Spirit now dwells in our hearts. And in this way, he provides his worship. Because the principle, whether two or three are gathered, there he is in his name, the Spirit among them. He provides for worship, always leading us to desire and study and practice God's word and teach it to others, to our children, to our wives, to our for older women, to teach younger women, teaching the members of the congregation, teaching the peers, one another. Beloved, we have been blessed far beyond Ezra and those other priests in Judah and Israel were ever blessed. Above and beyond what they received. He always provided more for us because we have Christ. We don't have to go to Jerusalem every year. We don't have to follow all those little, what would seem to them and probably to us, very nitpicky laws, and you have to cleanse yourself. And for all these different things that you do, you touch a dead body, you got to go cleanse yourself. For women, the time of the month, when that comes, you got to go cleanse yourself. But don't waste what God has given to you. Don't waste the blessing that he's provided for you, which is above and beyond what we could ever ask for or think of. Don't waste the word of God that is so easily accessible to you that it wasn't as accessible then. First off, they probably only had at this time the law of God, and then probably some other things. We don't know. It'd take a while to figure out exactly what they had. But yet they didn't have it in abundance like we do. You would probably have to go to someone like a priest or a scribe to read the Word of God. And so don't waste what has been given to you and so is easily accessible to you. And when at that time it was not easily accessible. The passage goes on in verse 24 and frees those who work in a temple of having to pay taxes and tolls and tributes. Freeing them up so not to worry about the cares of the world. Kind of like often congregations give to their pastors. Then Ezra is given another task. You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges that they may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God, and you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them. What an awesome blessing for one of God's people to be able to appoint in a pagan nation, or they're kind of a conglomerate of nations now, to provide for his people to be able to appoint magistrates and judges. What an awesome thing that would be if we had Christians who were appointing these things instead of pagans. And if there are any in Judah who do not know God's words, here's another awesome thing. If there are any who are ignorant of God's words, even of the pagans, because on the province beyond the river, remember who were the governors, at least in Darius' day, it was Tatanai and Shethar-Boznai, and then all the people under them. And that province beyond the river is Judah's in there somewhere. And that is that therefore then any who are ignorant, even the people of the world, if they're ignorant of God's word, you, Ezra, are to teach them God's word. And as we're learning in John's Gospel, that's our mission today. To bring the Word to bear upon the people, not only in the church, but upon people in the world, teaching them the scriptures that by God's grace he would deliver them from their sin and all his wrath. What happened if they don't obey God's word? What if they don't listen to Ezra, or they don't listen to the Lord? There's punishment, verse 26. And it's Yahweh working through Artaxerxes, decreeing and telling Ezra what to do. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him strictly, for whether for death, for banishment, for confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. Understand that that what Artaxerxes, the pagan king, is showing here. He's showing how important it is to follow God's word. And yet he's just hinting at the importance of it. Because the punishment is far greater than what Artaxerxes will be doing to those who do not observe God's law. He says a right punishment would be death, banishment, things taken away, or going to prison. But what does Yahweh say? He says the wages of sin is death. Eternal death forever and ever. Death in the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So praise the Lord that he provides for his worship and shows the great importance of following his commands very precisely in worship and worshiping the Lord according to the word. And yet Artaxerxes is just a pagan king who doesn't love God, who doesn't obey God, and who will receive the just punishment of his sins, who has received the just punishment of his sins, at least as far as we know, eternal death. And yet Yahweh works through him to show us today the importance of obeying God's word, and especially obeying God's word in worship. His word is sufficient for you in all of life. He showers you with his grace, provides that grace for you, his word. But his word is also sufficient for our worship. And so we don't need to make up entertaining things to add to worship. We don't need to make up special days that the Lord has not decreed for us to observe. Yahweh provides his worship. He provides exactly what his worship is to be in his word. He tells us how to worship him. And he provides his word to change our minds and our hearts. He provides his words to change our practice, our life, our worship, and so that we can then teach others the word of God so they would be changed as well. He provides all that is necessary for us to worship him. And so let us not mess it up. And to think his word insufficient. That is a huge problem. It's not very much addressed in our world today, even in the church today, that the word of God is sufficient. Lots of people, in our circles, they like to talk about the word of God is inerrant, infallible, and it is. It's very important for our day. And yet another one that we ought to consider more so, and also at the same level, is that the word of God is sufficient. And so let's not mess it up, think it insufficient, and become inventors of our own worship, where we are then worshiping the creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. Then the last point. Your proper response to Yahweh's provision. Your proper response. Verse 26 ends Artaxerxes' decree. Seems there are two decrees here, verses 12 through 21 through 20, and then 21 through 26. Two separate decrees, yeah, both to Ezra. Verse 26 ends the decrees from Artaxerxes, and verse 27 and 28 is Ezra's response to this, which teaches us our response to God's provision. Ezra's response is this: blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this, as verses 11 through 26, as this in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. What a great God we have, who gives us leaders whose hearts the Lord has put in to do good to God's people. And when that happens, who gets the glory for that? Is it the king, Artaxerxes? No. Ezra responds, blessed be the Lord. Glory to the Lord. We know that Ezra also wrote what is before the decrees in the summary at the beginning. And he gave us the reasons why these things were happening. Because the hand of the Lord was his God was upon him. Because the good hand of his God was upon him. Verse 9. Then it ends the same way in verse 28, middle, thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me. Because the Lord, through this pagan king, has adorned, made more beautiful the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. So all praise is due to him, all glory due to him. Blessed be the Lord alone. Verse 28, it says, and has extended loving kindness to me, covenant faithfulness to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me. And I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. The Lord has shown covenant faithfulness to Ezra before all and authority before him. He has shown compassion and love and been good to me. And in his way, Ezra was strengthened because, again, the hand of Yahweh was upon him. Yahweh's hand was upon him. Beloved, how much you need to know that right now. Know, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is the Lord's hand upon you, his Spirit indwells your heart. Perhaps a greater blessing to know that more than Ezra had at his time. And so you've been given so much more than Ezra. So now see Yahweh's provision to you today and each day in his of his grace and then of his worship, and respond by giving glory unto his name alone. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for your provision to us. You've continually provided your grace to us. You've given us your word. You've given us the ability to obey you because you have filled us with your Spirit. You've given us the righteousness of Christ, which you are continually working in us and putting to death the sin that is still remaining. And Father, you have provided worship for us. And all these things above and beyond what Ezra experienced. And so, Father, let us not take it lightly or become complacent, but to respond in the proper way of praise and glory, continually studying, having that desire to study the Word and studying it, reading it, practicing it in our faith and life. And then, Father, we ask that we would even be used to teach it so that others in the church would be encouraged in their faith and turn from their sin unto righteousness unto you, and that people outside the church would hear your word and be saved. And Father, we thank you for the word which is always confirming to us your goodness and your covenant faithfulness to us. And we would ask this day that you would even be with those who are struggling in their bodies, that you would heal them. We pray especially this morning for Sharon, who's having great pains or had great pains which have subsided a little bit. We ask that you would heal her completely and that you would take such pains away. And Father, we do pray for our governing authorities. We thank you for this testimony, how you can very easily use pagan kings and rulers and authorities over us, as you did over Ezra, to give us exactly what we need. And so, Father, going forward, we ask that you would provide exactly what we need. We know that we need the Word. We know that we need worship and to worship you. And so, Father, we at least ask for those things more specifically. That you would continually give us the word and there would be no hindrance in that. And you would give us the freedom to worship you. And at the very least, if that means persecution, that you would give us strength to worship you without fear of man, but only fearing you, the Lord God, standing in awe of you, of your goodness and mercy, and yet that slight hesitancy or that hesitancy that we should have of disobeying you because of your great power and holiness. So, Father, provide for us, even through the rulers and kings over us, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.